Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again and welcome back into the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Danny Boy, mailbag episode part two.
I love it. A lot of mail, a lot of questions, a lot of answers here. I love it because I feel like we're starting to get a better feel for what the 2025 Bears are and should be. And our audience has plenty of questions for us to dive in and share some of the insight.
One really quick answer before we get going, because if you just watched our last episode, you were hung on a cliff about the Bears and 1,000 yard receivers on the same team. Yes, in 1995, Jeff Graham and Curtis Conway were 1,000 yard receivers from the arm of Eric Kramer. And then you fast forward, that was in the name of and inspired by Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, both having 1,000-yard seasons, moreover inspired by the possibility that the Bears could this year have two 1,000-yard wide receivers if Rome Odunze takes that next step. And we all know that DJ Moore, the minimal, is always set at 1,000 for him. That said, let's get on, yo, with the mailbag. Adam Studzinski, are you there? He is.
He's
Adam
there.
Studzinski. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, all right. Yeah, everything's working totally fine today. It's great. So, all right, we'll dive right into it. So, this question comes from Ronald Voigt, V-O-I-G-T, and he asks, what is the over-under on Johnson, being Ben Johnson, losing the locker room with this approach? And he attached the drill sergeant from the movie that I'm blanking on.
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. He attached the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket in the face of the new recruits. So there you go. Fire.
Good gif there. Good movie, Grody. I know you're a big Full Metal Jacket fan. I like this question because it speaks to Ben Johnson's approach. And I think there's a lot here. Ben Johnson proved to everyone during the spring that he's going to be very, very detail-oriented. Cole Kmet, I think, used the word obsessed with the details. And so there is a level of intensity as it comes to enforcing details and standards that Ben Johnson has that isn't going to be for everyone. Now, one of the things that the Bears loved about Ben Johnson is he has the emotional intelligence to be able to understand what that looks like as a leader, right? Like what buttons to push, when to push them, who to push them with. You have to have an understanding of what team you're coaching. That comes both collectively and individually on what guys need to be coached in which ways as you're trying to, you know, establish and maintain these elevated standards. It is worth watching with Ben Johnson to see if there is a level of fatigue that comes with what he preaches and what he's after every single day. That's going to be natural. Now, can you push through that fatigue? I think, Grody, some of this has to do with roster construction. Like you have to know as a front office and a coaching staff what guys will fit in this type of regime. And so Ben Johnson's going to build this roster in accordance to what he likes and what players that he likes to build with. And then he's got to trust his coaching staff as well. And I think one of the things that you and I have talked about through the spring is there seems to be high praise around the league for the coaching staff that Ben Johnson has assembled at House Hall, for having an ability to be sort of complementary to the head coach's messaging and the ability to get things done. I love what Ben brings to the table. I love the passion, the detail-oriented nature, the unwillingness to accept good enough, right? Like good enough is not good enough for Ben Johnson. Now he's got to get that full universal buy-in from every single player in that locker room. That's going to be interesting to watch in the weeks and months ahead. I'm on board. He's got to get those guys inside that locker room fully on board.
Because you and I know this from last year's locker room, Dan, I think you and I both received information on and off the record that this team wanted to be coached. So I think it's going to take a while before the yelling would get old, like if it was to. I also think that Ben Johnson is going to, like, even if there are players that are a little fatigued by it and don't particularly care to be yelled at or have a play stopped and being scolded, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt because of the credibility that Ben Johnson has. He has it. They've seen it. So they might be pissed off. They're like, in a moment, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, it's Ben Johnson. This isn't some unknown. This isn't Matt Eberflus and its principal. This isn't Mark Trestman coming in with this mysterious playbook and this mysterious international flair, I guess if you want to call it. So he'll ride on credibility. And then two more things, Dan. He'll ride on intelligence. Yep. Because when he explains things, players are probably going to be like, oh, I've never seen it that way. So really, to conclude, at least from my end, Dan, is that, yeah, the yelling's going to be there, but that can't be the biggest part of Ben Johnson's persona. The biggest part has to be the part where they're in the classrooms and he's teaching and he's putting his touch on it. So I look at all the yelling stuff as this peripheral thing that might be entertaining for us and for the players to take in as well.
You used two good phrases there, credibility and benefit of the doubt. Ben Johnson starts out with those because of the results he produced in Detroit. And what I think we heard toward the middle of last season was that Matt Eberflus's messaging went completely hollow because it wasn't backed by results. Guys were so tired of hearing after devastating losses, we just got to work hard and stick together. You know, it was like, no, we need to win bleeping games. And that's why people like Jalen Johnson reached a boiling point, why other players in that locker room started tuning out the coaches, because the results need to be there. Ben Johnson knows the path to producing results. Hopefully he will get them early. That buy-in and that credibility will raise rather than erode, and the Bears will be on their way.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Amen to that. Next question, Mr. Studzinski, please.
Next up, we have for the first time in between this episode and the last mailbag episode, we did a Caleb-specific question. I figured it's time. So here we go. This is from Mike, and I'm going to take a shot at this last name. Barbacovi? B-A-R-B. A-C-O-V. Mike, sorry I butchered your name. Anyway, Mike asks, it all starts and ends with Caleb. Is he the answer or another in a long line of failures?
This is everything, Grody. This is everything. We talk about how much other things we talk about with the Chicago Bears, and it really comes back to Mike's question on whether Caleb Williams is actually the real deal or not, because everything else is all just sort of background music to the question on whether this quarterback is worthy of being drafted 1-1 and being the type of player that you're supposed to be when you're drafted 1-1, which is a guy that's going to go to the Pro Bowl all the time. It's going to lead you into the playoffs all the time. Caleb Williams needs to prove in year two under a new coaching staff that he has this team pushed in the right direction and that he's the engine of why they're pushed in the right direction. And so I'm really, really eager to see this. You've heard me talk for a couple months now about witnessing the click between Caleb and Ben and seeing what that looks like through training camp and then into the regular season. But we have to get to Christmas in 2025 saying, yeah, without question, Caleb Williams is moving in the right direction. He doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have to be, you know, a future Hall of Famer by the time we get through Thanksgiving, but he has to be showing signs that he is everything the Bears thought he was when they drafted him. And if we don't see those signs, then all of a sudden you can start to elevate that little anxiety meter that you have in the corner of your office. And there's one right over here in the corner of mine.
I love the idea of Christmas being a point or a goal for Caleb Williams to be showing. And I understand the exact spirit in which you're saying that at least we have to hit, even if you're not winning at that point, we have to know in our heads, yeah, this is the guy and he's going to take the Bears places. But I'll even back it up, Dan, and I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I know I've said it on the score that there's some mini goals that I'd like to see in training camp for Caleb Williams. And that is very specifically, I keep saying it until it comes true. And that is, I need to see, like, let me just say it right now. How about like three straight days, maybe even two, but I'll say three, where we're saying, my God, Caleb Williams just keeps marching them down, like just looking good practice after practice instead of this every other day stuff. And like that, that's all allowed. That was his rookie year. But there has to be a higher precedent set this year for Caleb Williams. So I want to start to see that. I don't want to hear in the middle of training camp Ben Johnson saying, yep, well, we're at that point where the defense is ahead of the offense, and that's just the way it is this time of year, and those guys will catch up. So that's one of my goals for Caleb Williams. And look, you know, I mean, we know the season. We all saw the season he had last year, but the numbers weren't horrible for him. 3,541 yards, 20 TDs to 6 interceptions. So to make a jump and to become good, I think is realistic for Caleb Williams.
You're talking about checking the consistency box, and that's very, very important in year two. I think Caleb's certainly capable of that.
Amen. What do we got, studs? Is this number four here?
This is three.
This is from Jason Black. We really haven't discussed Ricky Stromberg, I think I'm saying the name right, much by the Bears media as a backup center. He was a third-round pick with the Commanders. Does he have a real chance for three? He should be in his third year and hopefully be the depth we desperately need in the interior.
All right, I'll start with this one, Grody, because nobody loves a backup center question more than I do in the month of June. And so we'll attack it, because I do think it's important, again, as we've talked about previously, to establish depth on the offensive line and to have guys that are reliable there. Throughout the spring, it felt like Doug Kramer was slotted in as your preferred backup center at this point. Luke Newman, drafted on day three this spring, has center versatility. The Bears love that about him, the fact that he could go in there and play if needed. Ricky Stromberg was a third-round pick by the Commanders. Suffered a season-ending knee injury playing on special teams his rookie year and hasn't been the same since. The Bears have taken a flyer on him last year when they picked him up, and they're going to give him opportunities certainly during training camp to show that he deserves to climb the depth chart. But right now, I don't think he's in the plans, and there's been nothing to show us that he's in the plans. Sure, he's a top 100 pick. I think he was 97th or something like that in the draft when he came out in 2023 out of Arkansas. But I think you're looking at Doug Kramer as center number two, and ideally you paid Drew Dahlman a lot of money to not let any backup centers play any snaps at all during the 2025 season. And so hopefully that's a moot point. We know better here in Chicago. There's always a new center. Every third week, there's a new center. But right now, it feels like that's Doug Kramer's job to keep or lose.
Yeah, I do understand the question from the inquirer in this case, because center's just been a rough ride, and the miss that was, you know, Luke Getsy. I mean, that really messed some things up considering what they thought that he was going to be. And
you mean Lucas Patrick?
What did I say?
Luke Getsy. Getsy didn't take any snaps.
No, he didn't. But hey, they were there at the same time. Yes, Lucas Patrick.
Both came from Green Bay.
Definitely what I meant. Yeah, both came from Green Bay, and both sort of walked out of here with their...
You try to blame Getsy for everything, Brody.
Yeah, man, the Getsy Wars. Oh, man, there's just so much in the past. But we'll keep it right here. I understand that because of how bad it's been. But, like, this is the first year I'm like, oh, dude, Drew Dahlman is here. Like, Drew Dahlman is not necessarily an elite center, but he is the adult in the room that the Bears have been needing at that position forever. So, quite frankly, I haven't thought a lot about Ricky Stromberg, but it's fair to. I think the same thing that, look, Doug Kramer is still on this roster, that he probably is going to be a backup at the center position. You mentioned Luke Newman as well, who is a sixth round pick, so he's just fighting to make the roster. But that they talked about Luke Newman being the backup for left guard, center, and right guard, so he's your interior backup guy. So we'll see. That knee thing is real, third round pick, but messed up his knee, so we shall see about the backup center. And I'm glad we got to spend a little time on the backup center here, Dan.
Yeah,
it is the time to do that.
Yep. Correct.
Studs. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, thank you, Jason.
All right. So I think we got time for two more if we hustle here, guys. So
I have a very important meeting that I need to attend, but let's carry on here.
All right. We got this. So, So this one's a little more high level. It's from regular contributor to the podcast, George Palmer, who we actually met at our live episode, the live studio episode back a couple months ago. So shout out.
What's up, George? What's up, GP?
George asks, we've been here before all too often. How can we tell before games start that it will actually be better? Signs, true indicators that optimism?
What?
I'll walk you through that one. How can we tell if this is for real? The improvement is for real before games start. And are there true indicators that we'll watch through for training camp to validate the optimism? What? I'll start with this because I'm going to give a cop-out answer, but it's also the truth. We can't tell.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to be honest with you because we've tried to tell in years past and we've been wrong. We don't have to rewind very far to get into the 2024 season and realize that we were optimistic coming out of training camp. I actually upped the Bears win total, a very un-Dan Weeder-like thing to do because I was so encouraged by what happened in the month of August that I went from 9 wins to 10. And then the Bears went out and started the year 4-2 and I felt great. And they were 10 seconds away from win 5 in Washington. And then they didn't win again until after Christmas. And it was a disaster. Look, like Grody, you sat in Soldier Field when Justin Fields threw preseason touchdown passes to DJ Moore and Khalil Herbert that were little dump offs that went for 56 and 62 yard touchdowns. And you said, Justin Fields has got the help he needs. He knows
we're
what
good.
He's doing. They're
we're
unlocked.
Good.
Year 3, Justin Fields is going places. And then Justin Fields wasn't there after the end of that season. We sat through Bears 100 and we felt like the Bears were legitimate Super Bowl contenders going into the 2019 season. They finished 8-8. We don't know. Now, just to get to the back end of that question, true, indicators that things are moving in the right direction. You want to see consistency, as you mentioned with Caleb Williams in your last answer. You want to see crispness. You want to see a lack of sloppiness. Like there's been too many training camp practices where we've kind of shrugged past pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball. Either guys not in line with the quarterback's cadence and jumping off or defensive linemen getting too eager. You just want to look at a football team and see that it's not sloppy. Rich Campbell and I used to always have a running joke that we know what 6-10 looks like because we've seen it a lot in our life, right? Like we know what a 6-win football team looks like. We want to see a 10-win football team. We want to see 11-win football team in this town before too long. And so we just have to go day by day, week by week, look for signs that we think are there. And then again, as you and I have talked about since the start of this offseason, resist biting the shiny lure. There's going to be a day where Caleb Williams leads 3 touchdown drives in the end of game situations, and social media is going to be on fire with highlight clips from taken from Braggs in the stands and other people up there in the bleachers saying, like, this is it. The guy's here. He's a savior. We love him. We're going to call him H18F or whatever we're going to call him. Anyway, I'm rambling here, but the fact is we can't tell until the Bears start playing meaningful games in September and October, and then we'll have a better indication of which direction this is going. But we will take a look at every step along the way to see if something's there.
The Bears had a quarterback after the Jacksonville game in London. Remember that? It was the Bears were set. That's it. Finally, he has arrived. I will echo you in saying the answer to the question is of are there signs that the Bears are going to be better? I will echo you in saying we don't know. I will take it a step further and just you want bluntness? No, not yet. It's just too early. And I don't mean that to say to be negative and to be like, yeah, it's not going to be. Maybe it is going to be better. But if you're asking us, you're asking me from what I saw in the OTAs, it definitely, like, I love Ben Johnson, though. I love the way it sounds. I love the way the players are talking. I love that Ben Johnson's out here coaching guys and all the stuff that we've seen and all that stuff. But no, there is nothing. There are no signs yet. I think those signs will hopefully manifest themselves during training camp.
You can't skip steps, right? And this team has to be on that proverbial Dan Weeder staircase here through through training camp. And we got to see them climbing.
Yes.
Remember the old video game Qbert, right? Like, you want to see the Bears hopping up without being scared off the side of the board by Coily and plummeting to their death during the months of August and September.
I was actually playing Miss Pac-Man the other day. So eat the little pill and then just start munching
ghosts.
Everybody in the division, and then the Bears will take the North. That's what's going to happen. They're going to take the North. Yeah, I'd like to trademark that. I think we have one more question here before we get the hell out of here.
Squeeze it in.
We can get one more. We got time.
Well, hey, okay. this is me. Don't you just assume we have time. I'll decide if we have time. Okay, I have time. Go ahead.
So this is from one here from James Gregory, kind of a fun hypothetical. James asks, hypothetical, but if you need to clear $3 million and space, and in parentheses, I know the Bears don't at who's on the bubble to clear room? Extensions with contracts not allowed in this scenario.
Mm. Dan, if you heard the question,
you need to clear $3 million of cap space.
Uh-huh. I didn't hear the question.
There's not a move that's needed right now, but hypothetically, if you needed to get rid of some cap space, how would you go ahead and do it?
Okay. So we're talking about dropping players off the roster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about cuts here, bubbles. Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I don't think they're really in a position to need to do that at this point. I will say that beyond 2025, like the guys that I would look at would be, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, DeAndre Swift, maybe even a Cairo Santos, as guys that, you know, you're just, when you're trying to make upgrades, there's sometimes hard decisions to make. It's a good question and probably one that requires a little bit more thorough examination of where they are cap-wise. I think, thankfully, one of the things that Ryan Poles has done well in his three seasons here as general manager is he's kept the Bears with good cap health. And he's got people, obviously, in the front office that have helped him to do that. And they're in a pretty good position right now as they head into year three to be able to be flexible to do the things they need to do. And they obviously did a lot this offseason with some of that cap flexibility to go trade for a Joe Tooney, to go get a Jordan Jackson, to go get a Drew Dolman and really address needs aggressively. And so now you've got to continue to be on that path in a way that sets you up for success.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is necessarily in the spirit of the question, the answer that I'm going to give, but there is one player that I'm circling and just wondering about, and I don't think there's going to be anything dramatic done this year with Jaquan Brisker, but I do wonder about his future with the Bears and seeing his buddy Kyler Gordon get the extension that he got and a few other guys get taken care of. That's just one guy that, like, we haven't really heard anything specific from the top about Jaquan Brisker other than they're rooting for him and they like him. There's nothing beyond that. So I am curious about that.
Yeah, well, you're not giving Jaquan Brisker a contract extension before this season ends. I mean, that's just the cold, harsh reality of the NFL with players with durability issues. Tevin Jenkins lived that life last year. You have to show people that you can play 16 or 17 games and really be a contributor when you have that durability tag on your name. And Jaquan Brisker has that durability tag on his name, and he's going to have to answer that in 2025.
Amen. I think we've come to the end of another one of our mailbag episodes. You feel good about it, Dan? You feel like the questions were good? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed at the volume and the depth of the questions we got here.
Love it.
And we'll turn this loose again here before the summer's over, before training camp's over.
Yeah, and we appreciate the engagement. I mean, we are available in many areas where you watch your podcast for comments or questions, so we appreciate the interaction. It's quite frankly, some of the numbers that we've seen on this podcast and the interaction have been overwhelming. So thank you so much to everybody who is part of this podcast.
I'll just echo that quickly because I think the engagement with Take the North during a dead period in the football calendar has been awesome, and I love our audience for that, for sticking with us and for helping to drive the discussion with episodes like this and our previous mailbag episode. It's great stuff. So
amen.
Keep it coming.
Our audience gets it. Like, I think Bears fans get it. We all understand. We're all kind of on the same level. We're all on the same aptitude when it comes to the Chicago Bears. So bless you all. We love you all. And we'd love to hear from all of you. No question is a dumb question unless we decide it's a dumb question. For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and frequent valuable contributor to 670 The Score, for our executive producer, Adam Stadzinski, I am Mark Grody saying thank you for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.